had to take Cricket to the vet yesterday for normal. He's fine. But he had like weird little, he's a bump on the back of his leg that we just wanted to get checked out because, I don't know, dogs get lumps and it's weird. But it's been a little while since he's been to the vet. And I always get nervous because he's Cricket and he loves to bark at everyone, like bringing him to a new social place. So I was like, oh, God. But we walked up and it's still sort of like curbside there. You like bring the dog out to them and they take them in for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, why?
It was like a COVID thing that started.
Yeah, but like it's still going on.
Kind of like you can go in now, but I think it's also they just got the system down. So it was easier than I think it's probably safer for all the animals, like not having them all in the room together. I think that they like helps keep if anyone's sick, it keeps them separate and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see that. Yeah.
And like if you needed to bring them in, it would be fine. But they're just like, yeah, we'll just come meet you outside. But Cricket was so excited to go with the stranger. I thought he was going to freak out and he was like, hello. And he was just like, bye. Like, like, you hate people. What is happening? So he went, they did all the tests. They're running. They sent off a sample of it to the lab. So we'll see. But she wasn't too worried. She put him on antibiotics and it's just a little like a cut that got infected. But then afterwards, he also had to get like shots like updated. His tune was very different. Whereas like Crumb, when I pick him up from the vet, is so excited. Like he sees me down the hallway and he starts like whimpering and getting really like excited and wiggling his little paws. And he's like so happy to go home. But Cricket was like shell shocked. Like the vet had him and he saw me and he kind of just like his eyes just kind of fell like, oh, thank God. Like, oh, man, that place is bad. And we kept just saying that he was like, hey, next time sometimes I know I act like I want to go with you, but actually you guys can do stuff without me. This wasn't that fun.
And bless him, he was so excited when you let him go. He thought he was like off for an adventure and you pick him up and he was like, that was awful.
Yeah, his eyes were just like, oh my God, the things they did to me.
Cricket. Oh, bless him.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cute. Simba had an adventure this weekend as well. Mm. We were at a protest yesterday in the morning because a pub near us has started doing drag queen story time for kids, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But as a result of that, a bunch of right-wing goons have started coming down to like try and intimidate the queens. So a bunch of us like went to basically counter protest and like the vibe was amazing. There were like 400 of us and 100 of them. We all started singing God Save the Queen when the drag queens came out. And you know what? Right wing British people really hate it when you sing God Save the Queen at drag queens.
So
they
funny.
Really hate it. It was so funny.
Good tip.
It was great. And so afterwards, you know, all of the right wing goons left. Like we successfully told them to off home, and they did. So we all went in the pub and it was like such a nice atmosphere. And because the pub is literally like at the top of my parents' road, I was like, I'm gonna go get Simba because he's gonna love this.
Yeah.
And he did. He had the best time. Like just like the little like puppy mascot of the counter protest.
Yeah.
He made friends with a sausage dog. He was like eating, everyone kept feeding him cashew nuts, which I did check dogs can have.
Right.
And he was delighted by the discovery of the cashew nut. Just like anywhere he looked, he was like, wow, these are amazing. He got so much attention. And it was so sweet. Like he just had such a fuss made of him. So that was great. One of the people that we were chatting to is a dog walker, and they were like, oh my God, please sign him up for our dog walking service so I can walk Simba. And I was like, we will.
Yes.
So it was great. He had such a good time.
Yes.
So that was really, really sweet. And then another thing I wanted to mention in the intro, because I've discovered a talent and I feel like I need to share it.
Yeah.
I have got so good at identifying like dog breed mixtures.
Really?
I was walking in Soho in the week and started chatting to a dog walker, and this dog walker had like, they were like bougie Mayfair dogs. And I immediately was like, that's a Shiba Inu Husky mix. That's a sausage dog mixed with a Jack Russell Terrier. That's a poodle mixed with a Labrador. Like, I was, and I got them all right. Whoa. And I was like, I don't know if there's some kind of competition.
Yeah.
If there's some kind of trivia where this is a useful skill. But that Shiba Inu Husky mix, that's what got me started.
Yeah.
That was it. It looks exactly as you'd think it would. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture it. And I think, is it like kind of a, did it have the husky colors or was it Shiba?
No, it had the Shiba colors and the Shiba curly tail.
Yeah.
But then the rest of it was husky.
Cute.
And it was a husky size.
Did it have the like blue eyes?
Yes.
Oh, that's cute.
It was amazing looking. Wow. It was amazing.
Striking dog.
It was a striking dog. But like, it just looked like you'd put a Shiba and a Husky in like a cauldron and then pulled out that dog. Like, it was so exact.
Wow. I love that. Yeah. Cause when I got Crumb, we were so certain that he was some kind of border terrier mix.
Yeah. Cause he does look like that.
Yeah. We were like, yeah. And like, if nothing else, he's like some kind of terrier, had to be. And then we got the DNA results back and it was 0% terrier.
Yeah.
So like, it's impressive that you were getting them right, because I
thank you.
My track record
I do think with Crumb, though, it's more difficult because he has so many.
He's a lot.
I reckon I could do maybe three.
Yeah.
I could do like three and maybe be like, oh, and there's maybe like a little sprinkle of collie in there somewhere. Yes. But I think any more than that, that would stretch the limits of my
He has like five, and then also one that's like all other stuff. Like the breed type is like, you know, a mutt. You're like, okay, cool.
Exactly. Yeah. But I really, I want to make this some kind of game or some kind of segment where we look at like fun mixes. Kind of how I know you guys used to do it with Can I Pet Your Dog, where you would do like, what would a retriever mixed with a corgi or something look like?
Yeah.
But if we could do that with like other animals as well.
Yeah. Especially,
you know what I mean?
Based on our like, last if anyone became an X Fun member and listened to our bonus episode with Janet, we started doing like hybrid animals also. There's a lot to we're having a hybrid
to, like,
moment
mixing. I'm really enjoying the hybrid moment. So that was a fun thing for me for sure.
Yeah, cool. It's we can call that your superpower.
Thank you. I'll take that.
We also have a really fun guest today. Will you tell the listeners about Juno?
Juno Kelly is a writer and journalist. She's written for Mission Magazine. She's written for The Cut. She's written for Service 95, which is Dua Lipa's magazine.
Cool.
Which is seriously cool.
Yeah.
She's very talented. She's also one of my best friends. And she talks to us today about her cats, Dusty and Chippy, and her dog, Bosco.
Yeah, let's get into it.
So Juno, welcome to Comfort Creatures.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm delighted. Juno Kelly is one of my best friends. She's a writer and journalist. We became friends in university. We were both messy 18-year-olds. It's like, what is that now, June? It's like nearly nine years?
Well, 2014 we joined uni and it's now 2023, so 9 years,
Oh my God. So yeah,
long time,
babes. So you have had lots of animals in the time that I've known you and beyond. So I think we should start with Bosco. I think we should start with Bosco.
So Bosco was my first proper pet. I say proper because I was telling Ella over text earlier, my neighbors were once making mussels for dinner and they had like caught them themselves. They were like quite posh, you know, they'd go out, shoot rabbits, you know, catch the mussels, do all the fishing themselves, very wholesome. And I was like, this is the saddest thing ever. They're all alive right now. And in a few minutes, they're going to be dead. I was like, I can't. I was always a very hypersensitive child, still hypersensitive. And I was like, can I please just save one of them? And they were like, yeah, whatever, like save one. So I called it Muscle and kept it in a jar and fed it like porridge oats every day And I put it like my dad had made this Big Brother throne, like a mini Big Brother gold throne, which is like a reality TV show in the UK, if you guys are American listeners, for like this art project I had in school. So I put the jar in this Big Brother gold throne and the mussel just lived in its throne. But then I forgot to feed it and it died.
I can't believe that's never come up before in conversation.
I know.
That's very on brand for you though. Yeah. Like, yeah, so sensitive.
Ridiculous. And then before that, when I had wanted a dog my whole life. And then when I was living, when I was going to Ireland, to Mayo, where I spent all of my summers, which is like a rural part of the west of Ireland, our neighbours had like a gorgeous sandy Labrador with like little silky ears and a big boxy face. And I was just in love with him. But my parents wouldn't let me get a dog. So they signed like these adoption papers that was like, I was his part owner. Aww. And all my cousins were like, Juno, that's pathetic. You're not his owner. You don't even live in this country. And I was like, well, I hate you. And I just ride him off into the sunset. And then eventually with like enough convincing and enough arguments and probably enough tantrums, my parents agreed to get me a dog. So as long as I walked it every single day, that didn't happen. My mum ended up doing that. But so, yeah, we picked out a little Cocker Spaniel, got him down the countryside from Cambridge. He had like he was black and white, big floppy ears that trailed along the floor wherever he went. He was the most insane, erratic, badly behaved, badly trained dog. He would jump up on the table at dinner parties and eat everyone's food. There was just nothing you could do about it. And he would like cry like a seal. And everyone just used to say like the parallels are just, and now Dusty is so vocal because she's part Siamese. And they're like, what is it with you, your family and your animals? Like, why can't you just have a normal animal?
I remember you telling me a story about how you went to boarding school when you were 16. And I remember you telling me a story about how your parents had brought Bosco to visit you or something when you were at school.
Yes. So my parents came to visit me. I think they came to pick me up for the summer. So they had brought like the car over on the ferry so they could bring me back with all my stuff. But I knew they were coming, but they opened the door to the car. And Bosco, like we were probably, I don't know how many meters away, but like a whole kind of field away from each other, a playground, like the size of a football pitch. And Bosco came out the car and saw me and just shot towards me. Like he knew straight away. I hadn't seen him probably in like 4 or 5 months. Oh. He knew immediately from that distance. And he just like ran. Of course, he comes into the boarding house and there's no animals allowed. But he's like going into everyone's room. And the teachers are like, he's not allowed. And my mom's like, ah, stop. He's grand. So that was exciting for everyone.
He was so sweet. And now you've got Dusty.
Got Dusty, my little angel. Honestly, when you said you have to come on this podcast, I was like, well, all I do is talk about Dusty to everybody all day anyway, so now I'll actually have a willing audience for a change. Well, Dusty was a typical story. Ella actually was my main inspiration. So Ella got Percy, I think, a few months before I got Dusty.
Yeah,
I'd say it was probably about 6 months difference. I wanted a cat for a while. I knew I live in a flat. I was always a dog person, but I was like, it's impractical. I'm not going to be able to walk a dog every day. Like, it's just not something that I'll be able to do. I don't want to be cruel. I don't have a garden, la, la, la. So I was like, well, I was like researching, can you do indoor cats? What's the story there? And I just it was during the pandemic. So she was a pandemic, just the same as Ella's. Yeah, pandemic cat. And I've just always been obsessed with these little grey Scottish folds. So I became obsessed. I found one. I was actually meant to get another one and I was so excited. And I was going to pick her up the next day. And I went to the shops and I bought everything for her, like the bed, the bowls. I was so excited. And then she was too sick and I couldn't get her. And I was so distraught. Obviously, now I've ended up with Dusty, so it was all for the best. And then I found this other cat, went to Essex, picked her up, brought her home. And she was the nicest little kitten Ella knows.
Yeah,
like she was just so malleable and just, she let you do whatever. She was the most cuddly, edible little thing. She slept on my head every single night.
Yeah, she was a baby. Just so affectionate. Like
she was so affectionate. She's less affectionate now, sadly. She goes through, she has her days.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's the best decision I ever made. How, I always say best decision I ever made.
How old was she when you got her?
2 months.
Oh, so little.
I was naughty. They're supposed to be 3 months, but the breeder was like, come and get her. And I was just like, okay. So she was,
I also think lockdown was a weird time for breeders because it was just really hard to be like, imagine being a breeder in lockdown and like all of the resources that you're normally relying on are suddenly like so much harder to access. And yeah. You have to do it for like 8 cats.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I can imagine that's really difficult.
Yeah. Well, it was nice because when I went to pick Dusty up, I met her mum and dad, which was very sweet. But I remember, like, I put Dusty in the little, like, carrier you put them in. And her dad, like, there was this big, like, Phil Mitchell looking big tomcat, like wandered over and was looking in at her when I was about to take her away. And I just, my heart was breaking. I felt so bad. I just.
Two things about, number one, Phil Mitchell. American listeners, go Google Phil Mitchell.
Oh yeah.
He's a character in EastEnders, which is a soap here. And he's like a proper big, like East London geezer. Also like Juno is such a daddy's girl, and I just think like, of course it was the dad that looked into the cat carrier.
The little girl was like,
oh my daddy, like that's so you.
I know, me and Dusty, we were kindred spirits.
And so she's half bold, half something else, isn't she?
No, so well then they didn't know for sure. She's half Scottish fold. No, she's half British short hair, which is her dad, which is like what she gets most of her looks from. That's why she's like that nice grey colour and she's so fluffy and she's got the like little flat kind of face. And then her mum was, they think, half Scottish fold, half Siamese, or her Siamese in there somewhere. So that's why Dusty has like a very recognisable Siamese raspy screech. It's not like a cute cat that sounds like, you know, like a baby that squeaks. You know, some cats are like, sound like they chirp, like it's so sweet. She's like, meow! Like
also, if anyone doesn't know what a Scottish fold is, it's the cats that literally have the folded ears that are forward.
Yes. Usually people say to me, oh, is that what Taylor Swift has? So that's how people usually know about Scottish folds, because Taylor Swift has a Scottish fold called Meredith.
Meredith.
She's actually named after a character on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, Meredith Grey.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. I see it now.
Yeah.
But they're actually a lot rarer in the US, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I don't think I've ever seen one in real life.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah, because they're Scottish. I assume it's probably easier to get them.
Yeah.
And I, because I remember when you were first getting her, you were looking into it and you were saying that, like, you wanted a Scottish fold mix because purebred Scottish folds can have like bone things, which is why you mix them with other things for health.
Yeah. So if they're a purebred Scottish fold, they can, because that usually means they're being overly inbred. So they can get, I think like arthritis in their ears and other problems with their joints. Because what it is, it's like a chromosomal abnormality that makes the ears folded. Mm. So if you put two together, they'll have a litter of all Scottish folds. And there's something about that that makes it more dangerous for their health. So usually like a few of the kittens will have straight ears and a few of them will have that folded ears. So that's kind of how you know it's a bit safer, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I know. My parents made fun of me because my parents like, just like, what is that designer cat? Like, she didn't look real when she was a kitten. My dad was like, her battery is going to run out any day now, Juno. And I'd be like, she just doesn't look real. She looks like a velvet.
She looks like a little. She looks like a koala. Yeah, she's like a little koala.
Oh, especially because since the ears aren't pointed, it's just a little bum.
Yeah. And she'd also like always cling on to things in a very koala like way.
No, yeah. So cute. She's also a gorgeous shade of gray, which I feel like you don't see that often, but it's like really pretty.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no, she's a nice color. I've always had, Ella will love, because I always used to wear a lot of black and white, and I've only ever had like black or white or gray animals, including my muscle. So it's all very on brand.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
And what she, so you said she was like more cuddly as a kitten. What's her personality like now that she's kind of a teenager, I guess?
Well, to strangers, she's a little. And I feel really bad about it because
it's okay.
Percy's, I just want everyone to love her. So weirdly, when she got to like 7 or 8 months old, I started seeing someone, and I don't know if, but she loved him. So I don't know if it was anything to do with that and her outrage at like it not just being the two of us, but she did stop being so affectionate with like strangers, but she stayed being quite affectionate with me. So now when people come into the house, like, she's not happy about it. If it's just one person, you know, she's a cat, she takes her time, she'll come out, she'll hang out with you, she'll be fine. But if there's like more than 2-3 people that she doesn't know, she's hissing like a lunatic. And I just, it's very embarrassing, but what can you do?
Like, how do you explain to an animal, like, they're fine. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. Yeah. They have their ways.
Exactly.
I think it was in response to the person you were seeing. I think she's now like got trust issues, and she's like, I think we need to have some chats before you bring people back into the flat, mum. Because
I know. Well, once we had a fight, and the next day, he put his foot inside his shoe, his work shoe, to go to work, and Dusty had vomited in it.
Oh my God.
So, I'm like, she didn't miss. It was inside the shoe.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was no spillage. It was my very, girl. It was a great aim. It was a great aim.
No, like, I love, there's no question whose side she's on. Just
absolutely.
She's loyal. She's a girl's girl. I wouldn't have a daughter be any other way.
Absolutely. She was like, Mum, I got you. Don't worry. I'm going to make my feelings really known.
It was actually so funny because he was obviously stressed and late for work, and I was just like...
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with more from Juno.
I'm Lisa Hannawalt.
And I'm Emily Heller.
Wow, Emily, we've been doing this podcast for 10 years.
I know, but hey, don't worry. You can jump in at literally any episode and hear us talk about some of our favorite stuff. Caterpillars becoming butterflies.
Martha Stewart flying around in a private jet full of trees. Yes, you heard me right. Trees.
Neighbors becoming enemies. Just kidding.
Whatever messed up stuff we can find on Wikipedia.
Our impeccable taste in everything from dogs to TV shows to bodily functions.
And horses. Lots and lots of horses. Come for our horned up rants about the world. Stay for the catchy theme songs.
You might not learn anything, but we're a good hang.
Baby geniuses. Every other week on MaximumFun.org. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
And then Chippy.
Yes, so tell us about Chippy. So you lost Bosco, didn't you, a few years ago, which was really, really sad.
That was very, very sad. Bosco I'd had since I was 7 years old. So he'd like been with me through primary school, secondary school, boarding school, uni. But before, he's actually buried in the back garden, which is really nice. But before Bosco, well, Bosco was still alive and kicking and with us, about two or three years before he died, three little kittens started hanging out in our garden, and obviously Bosco would scare them off every day. He hated them, but they would sit kind of above on the wall where Bosco couldn't get at them, and they were very cute. And, you know, as wild cats do, two of them vanished, but one of them remained, and that was Chippy. So when Bosco died and was buried in the garden, my mum, who was obsessed with this dog, like, one of my dad's friends did a painting class, and he painted this huge portrait of Bosco with a pink background.
Incredible.
And my mum put that, it was the summer, so she put that on the grave, and she lit candles around it every day. She put the radio on for Bosco every day, like she did when he was alive. I know, it's heartbreaking. But one day, this cat, who we had called Chippy, like, just, but we didn't really feed him or anything, only occasionally, because Bosco would go crazy. Chippy came and lay on the grave. And my mum was like, God. Can you believe the cheek of Chippy coming and lying on Bosco's grave? And he's only dead a few days. And she was so furious. But of course, he ended up being like the best balm to her heartache.
Yeah.
And yeah.
She very slowly fell in love with Chippy. And Chippy was really just the savior in the wake of Bosco. He was semi-feral. So like you literally couldn't do anything to him. Like you couldn't pick him up, you couldn't hug him. I was telling someone that, and they were like, what's the point? I know. So you couldn't, but then eventually my parents, like over a few years, really domesticated him. And by the end, he was very, very affectionate. He purred, the loudest purr I've ever heard. It was like a motorbike. And he became very sweet. He loved my mum and dad. And funnily enough, he was terrified of Dusty. Yeah. So this is another Phil Mitchell, like, hench cat.
Was he ginger? Was he a ginger tabby sort of?
No, black. And enormous, because my mum, she loves to spoil her little creatures. So he was so chubby. Yeah. And Bob Dusty, who's really small, she's a small cat, would like hiss at him and go crazy and he'd run away. And they were just like, how does she have this power? It was just very entertaining to see.
I love that, like, Chippy was like, I'm not laying on the grave to be rude. I'm trying to say I could hang out.
Yeah. Do you need friends? Yeah. Do you need company? Like, that's what he was saying.
So another cute, monochromatic little baby.
Yeah.
He's like, I fit the aesthetic of the Kelly family.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was a magical little baby.
Do you think your parents will get another pet?
I don't know. It's one of those things, like, even when Bosco died, people were asking her, like, are you going to get another dog? And she thought it was the rudest thing you could possibly ask. She was like, that's asking someone who had a miscarriage whether or not they're just going to get pregnant again. I was like, Mum, it's really, really not the same thing. But she was outraged. And so Chippy was a blessing because Chippy came in and was... She didn't have the guilt of going out and trying to actively replace Bosco. You know, it happened very accidentally and very organically. So I don't know whether or not I need to get them a kitten.
Yeah,
I think
you should.
My mum's also like, she's going to France in a few weeks. She's intent on traveling. She's like, this is the first time we haven't been tied down by you or an animal. So we want to travel. So I'll maybe give them a few months and see what they do. But yeah, I'll consider it because they both now since Chippy's died, they're both bloody up in my flat every few days visiting Dusty. It's exhausting. I'm like lying there with a hangover and my mum's like, I'm coming up to see Dusty. And I'm like, Mum, I'm too tired. She's like, well, I'm not coming to see you. I'm coming to see the cat. So she'll come up and feed Dusty and play with her. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's nice for them that they have Dusty as well.
Yeah.
Does Dusty like your parents? I assume she doesn't hiss at them as well.
No, she loves my dad. Animals always love my dad. He's just like a gentle soul. She loves my dad. With my mum, she loves my mum too, but she loved my mum more. And then my mum looked after her after she had, what's it called when they have their own, it's called dogs if they're spayed. What's it called if it's
neutered? Like neutered? Like, yeah, neutered. Neutered. Is that what it's called? No, it's spayed if it's a girl and it's
spayed
neutered.
Spayed if it's a girl. Okay, yeah. So she had a hysterectomy. And my mum looked after her when she, a few weeks after she'd had it. My mum like took her collar off her, you know, that collar so that she could scratch her neck. Cause my mum is like, if the cat's trying to get it off, my mum is like a big softy. So she's like, ah, okay. But then Dusty like kind of went crazy and my mum couldn't get it back on her and they had a big panic.
Ugh.
And I think from then Dusty was kind of weird around my mum for a while, but I was in LA for a month in end of November, early December. And they looked after her then and now they're just like
all is forgiven.
Yeah.
All is forgiven. Yeah. So that's nice. I mean, is your mum grown on Percy more now?
No. No. Because not at all. Like, not even a little bit. Because again, like, my mum, Percy is like worse than Dusty with new people. Like, she really takes ages to warm up to anybody.
She likes me, though.
I was gonna say she loves you, but like it's so rare for her to like people. And I do think that like you know, the people that Percy tends to like are people that just give her space. So like yeah. you and like my friend Emily and stuff, she will voluntarily like come over to, and she'll like put her little paws yeah. on as if to be like, yeah, you can stay. But it's because you've given her space. Whereas my mom, every time she comes over, is just immediately like up in her face and kind of treats her like she would a dog. And it's like,
Jackie's got no chill with the cats.
None at all. Like none whatsoever. So no, Percy still very much is like anti my mom. It's a shame.
Well, now that your mom has the dog as well, she's like, well, I have a dog that loves me. I have no reason to make an effort with this
brat. And that is literally what it is. She's like, you're so rude, Percy. You've got an attitude problem. And I'm like, mother, she's just a cat.
Yeah, I remember she said that. I remember I first got Dusty, and like Dusty was so friendly at the beginning, and Percy, we had just started realizing was going to be trouble.
Yeah.
And Ella was like over, like fawning over Dusty. And you called your mum and you were like, look at Dusty. And you were like, she's so different to Percy. And your mum was like, well, yeah, Percy's a bitch. And you were like, mum.
That is literally, yeah. But it's I don't know if it's an age thing with cats, particularly like girl cats. But yeah, for the first few months of Percy's life, she was really sweet and affectionate.
Because they think you're the mummy. They need to be mummied.
And I don't know if it was COVID as well, but then it got to, she was about, 6-7 months, and she suddenly was like, I hate everybody. And when she's gradually changing her mind on that, but it is embarrassing when people come over and you're like, I really, because I feel like, Alexis, I feel like your cats are really social, like they'll mm-hmm. come and say hi to people,
yeah,
and they'll rub up against, yeah.
Are they like normal cats, not like designer cats?
They are, yeah, they're just full.
See, they're much nicer,
yeah,
they are much nicer, yeah.
And also, but to counterbalance that, my dogs are a nightmare, so it's like everything's reversed. It's like the cats are super sweet and want to say hi, and the dogs are barking, and they like, so it's just like, it's still chaos because it's like, yeah. Sorry, can you say hi to the cat? I'm going to hold the dog. It's everything's fine. And then like an hour later, the dogs are like, okay, you're nice.
Yeah. So your dogs have cat personality. See, that's what happens when you raise them together. They get confused.
Yeah, they don't know who's who.
Identity crisis.
Do you get a dog in the future, June?
Yes. When I live in a house with a garden and either have like a husband that loves to walk or can afford like a dog walker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't see myself doing that every single day.
I like or the like idea of creating an app that is very specifically like, I'm looking for a husband who likes to walk. Not with me, though.
Yeah. 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 Not with me.
Walk the dog.
No, I would, but I don't know that Dusty would allow it in her lifetime. So
that's very fair.
She's two. She two? I think she's two or two and a half. So if that's, she's got a good, you know, she could have 18 years left in her. So
I know. And the designer ones live long. Like these fancy cat breeds are, and because they're indoor cats as well.
Yeah.
So like,
what's going to kill her? Do you know what I mean?
Honestly, like their life. I sometimes look at Percy and I'm like, I might have you when I'm like in my 40s. Honestly terrifying.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
See, like, this is the thing.
Yeah, like we
But Bengals are quite, aren't Bengals quite good with, oh look.
Which one is that, Alexis? Is it
Kit? It's Crumb. I don't know. He was just, the bathroom is behind me and he was just like crying loudly at the bathroom door. So I thought maybe one of the cats was trapped in there. But no, he was just,
Would he do that if he was worried that one of the cats was stuck?
Yeah, it's very cute. It happened the other day. I was like, he was like barking at a door and crying. And I was like, what? You're being crazy. And then I opened it and my cat Maude was in there. And she was like, oh my God. I was in there for hours. I was like, I'm so sorry.
That's so cute that the dog actually cared and was trying to signal you.
Yeah, he loves them. Aww. It's really sweet. I love their little... Yeah,
they're like a little pack. They're so cute.
Yeah.
Which did you get? Did you get the dogs first or the cats first?
I got one of the cats first and then one of the dogs and one of the cats and one of the dogs. So...
Okay.
Yeah. But I think it was helpful.
Did you have them all from babies?
No. kind of. Oh. They were all pretty young. But like the first cat, Maude, I had as a baby. I've had her since I was in college, though. So she's 10 now. And then Crumb, I got when he was also a baby. So they like got to bond. And I think that's partially why they're really close and like,
yeah,
we'll just like lay next to each other. And it's very sweet. And also Maude is a very fat cat. And so it's cute because they're about the same size. So, she's huge. But then we got Millie, my other cat. We saw a picture of her. She was at the Humane Society here and she just had the cutest little face and she was just a little black and white cat. And we're like, well, we should probably go pick her up. Right. Like she's really cute.
Yeah.
And then.
And like Maude is also black and white. Yeah. So like Millie does look like her sister. Like yeah, it is really
they match.
Cute.
They match. Cute. Yeah. And then Cricket just showed up one day. He just hopped through our fence in the yard and.
Oh,
so he was, they think left. He was like a 2 years old or so, but.
Okay.
Just yeah.
You domesticated him.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I think he was.
Well, his Crumb, you also just found Crumb, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, both
found
dogs Crumb. Were just around. So, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. But, which I've, really I'm learning big. Is not as common of a thing in London, but.
No.
Here there's all sorts
we just don't really have we just don't really have stray dogs in London like it's just not
yeah stray dogs is not no. a thing. I mean it happens with cats but not
yeah
cats.
Not at all yeah, yeah we've just yeah we've talked about that a bit like why that is. I don't know if it's just because even like there are even like just significantly less rescue centers like I look at rescue centers a lot and it's good because it means there just actually isn't the demand for them in the same way that there is in the States.
But, yeah, well, and there's not really the funding either.
No, but like, that's true. But I just think that, like, there isn't... Yeah, we just don't have strays. Like, I never, ever see stray dogs anywhere.
Never.
Yeah.
I don't think it exists.
That's fascinating.
No.
I mean, that's like, great. It, like,
yeah,
I much
good.
Prefer that.
It's because British people like their dogs more than their kids. I've said this before.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes. No, my mum was obsessed with my dog. When my cousin had a baby, she was like, she had a little boy, you know, Aiden.
Yeah, he's so cute.
And Aoife, my cousin, would be telling my mum like, oh, Aiden's doing this and Aiden's doing that, like looking for advice. And my mum used to be like, Bosco does the exact same thing. I totally get it. And Aoife would be like, you know, you actually have a human child that you can compare to this situation.
I really like though I think we had Jackie Rose on and she was talking about how like having kids and pets there's this kind of like I don't know almost like mythology behind having kids where it's like you don't really know love until you have a baby and she was like yeah you do I love my dog it
yeah.
was the same like not you know just like not even. Yeah. But it's nice, yeah. too, because it also means, like, for people who can't have kids or, like, whatever, or don't want them, it's like, yeah, you're not missing love. It's still there.
Yeah.
I
see Dusty like a daughter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I love her so much, I can't contain it. Like, I feel the way people describe motherhood
yeah.
about Dusty.
Yeah.
Totally.
And sometimes I think, like, babies aren't even furry. Like, what's the point?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I genuinely think that like most baby animals are cuter than baby humans.
Yeah, for sure. Baby exactly. humans are like wrinkled little raisins.
And the animals stay cute their whole life. Mm-hmm. Babies grow up to be either ugly
yeah,
or
yeah. I mean, have you
nice
seen
people, so.
Like there are yeah. some 7-year-olds that you go, oh, you're gonna grow out of this, but like your proportions are crazy right now.
Yeah, for real, for real. And also, just like you know, my cat is always like. You know, grateful that I feed her, grateful for the warmth.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
I'm like, at some point, your kid grows up to like give you, and yeah. I'm like, you know, at least,
yeah.
you
so
know.
True.
So I do. I definitely feel like, I mean, yeah. I personally feel like if in the future, for whatever reason, I didn't have kids, if I had a ton of pets, I think I'd be all right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like completely fine with. The idea of just having like loads of dogs and cats and rabbits and a horse and some chickens. Ugh. I'd be so happy.
Yeah, I know. But Els, I know you always say this, but you're such a city girl. I just
we
can't
have this
imagine
debate.
You mucking out the horses and like The smells. Your Ella's a clean freak.
Yeah, like, but I'm like,
it's not a glamorous life, you know. You have this romanticized idea of Ireland and the countryside that only people who've spent most of their life in the city ever have. And I would just love to actually see you every day at the crack of dawn getting up and cleaning out the horses. Because I know Michael would have to do it.
I used to muck out when I rode, and I enjoyed it. It was fine.
Oh, I always used to skip doing that. It used to be every Sunday. You'd have to go, and I'd just show up for the horse riding lessons. So all of the people who worked there hated my mum because they thought I was spoiled.
I'm guessing mucking out is picking up the poop and moving it.
Yeah,
okay. And like shoveling it out the stable
and refreshing the hay and everything.
I love.
It's such a British expression, yeah. Isn't it?
I checked and it said muck out. British. And I was like, yeah, okay.
I mean, I definitely think that I would. I had this exact conversation with my cousin because she feels the same. She's the same. And she's like, I'd love to live in Scotland and have big dogs and da da da. And we're
Which
like,
cousin, Alice?
No, Lara. And like, my cousin Lara is the most sociable person I know. Like, every single, I have to book to see her like, you know, a year in advance because she's busy every night of the week. And we're like, Lara, you can never leave London. Like, you love going to the theatre and to nice restaurants. And she's like, no, I think I'd enjoy the peace and quiet. I'm exhausted all the time. And I think that's where it comes from, is like,
yeah,
and feeling a little bit of fatigue with the city and being like, oh, maybe the answer
is... No, I totally get it. But I just think that it might be like wanting to live on the beach, you know?
Mm.
It's amazing and you
on
feel
holiday.
So refreshed. But then after a while, you're like...
There's sand everywhere.
Yeah.
I think maybe I think I probably have a good few city dwelling years left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I, you know, want more space and stuff, I think I would.
Yeah.
Would, yeah.
I also
like
think
that. I just could.
Like, what if yeah, you on. Did like a, I think you need a hybrid where you need to be like in the countryside, but like ideally you get like six close friends to buy property nearby. So then you
That's
can
the
still,
thing, yeah.
you know.
That is literally what it is. It's who's around you.
Yeah.
Like if all
I
of
be
my
persuaded.
Mates. Yeah, I know you could. You will be persuaded. If all of my mates were living, yeah, in the same few miles.
Yeah.
On our like big houses with all our pets in the Irish countryside, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
I know. But then that's what's so sad. What we're really grasping for is just a sense of community,
yes.
which just barely exists these days.
Yeah,
I know. And it is hard to find that in the city. And I think the thing...
Which is also probably why people love their pets so much.
Literally.
And why pets are so popular now.
Yeah.
You know, they say that 1 in 20 young people is like really lonely and feels like they're not around people enough, a study said lately. So it's like pets and houseplants are our best friends.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
It's so true. Mm. Yeah. That's a poignant note to end on, Junie.
Yeah, sorry, did I just
No, I liked
vibe?
It.
No, it's really good. We have to ask you a question, which we ask all our listeners. If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Ella, you know this.
Yeah, but you
Ella.
Well, do you want to say? You should say. Go on. What would you be?
Okay. Well, Ella, I don't know whether I came up with this or whether Ella came up with this. I think it might have been Ella came up with the idea that I was a flamingo.
Absolutely.
Because, you know.
Absolutely.
Arms flailing,
yeah.
Eccentric, neurotic, bit of a diva, very loud.
Yeah.
Bright pink.
It's the videos of them all like walking together, like doing their little dancey shuffle thing. And
yeah.
I was like, that's
Juno. No, they all like look to the side at the same time and they're like, and you were like, yeah, when you see a hot guy in the club. Like.
It's so accurate though.
So yeah. funny. What did you guys say yours were? Have you ever had to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm probably my cat. Like, I think I'm a Bengal.
Yeah.
No.
Do you not think? Okay, what do you think?
No.
What do you think?
You're very, like, Percy's got a sly element to her. And like, I associate being feline with being sly. And you are very upfront.
That's true.
So I think you're more of a confrontational. But I mean, Percy is very
confrontational. I was going to say, Percy's quite confrontational. She makes it quite known if she dislikes you.
But you also don't, you're like also a very fair person. Percy kind of, you know, she hates you without a trial.
Yeah, true.
That's true.
You're not really like that. I feel like you're also so wise, like an elephant or something.
Oh,
because you're so, because you're so clever.
Thank you. But I don't know, elephants are so serious. I think of them as being quite serious.
Oh, really? I think of them as not being serious at all.
Really?
You know, they play, you know, they like, but they play with
yeah,
the water.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
That's pretty cute.
But maybe not. I don't know. I have to think about yours.
Okay, have a think and I'll get you to report back. Yeah,
this is fun.
Alexis.
Oh, yeah. I say that I'm a raccoon.
Yeah.
Because they're like,
oh, okay.
They're clever, but they're mischievous. And like, they're very smart, but they kind of don't use their intelligence for anything good. And I really relate to
that. Also, the mischief is like harmless mischief.
Yeah.
It's like I'm causing trouble, but like, you know, everyone's okay.
It's fine.
They just want to have the crack.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I'm just causing a little bit of trouble for fun.
Yeah. You know? I'm not going to hurt anyone. I'm just, I like figuring out how to get in your trash can. It's fun.
Yeah.
That's so funny. That's such a random one. I've never heard a person compare themselves to a raccoon in my entire life.
Yeah. I also love hearing what like friends think their friends are, because it's always different.
It's always different. Yeah.
It feels like the equivalent of like your rising astrology sign or something, where it's like, oh,
yeah,
no, that's
totally.
What are you talking about? That's not the real you or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true. And also, we all have such different perceptions of different animals.
Yeah.
So, like,
totally.
What, you know, what the main characteristic of an animal might be for me might be completely different for you. So, everyone will come up with something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have different perceptions of ourselves. Like, how I think I come across is so different to how
so
everyone
different.
Else
yeah.
sees me.
And that actually freaks me out how different our perception of ourselves is.
Oh, my God,
are.
Right?
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun.
Cool. Junie, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having
me. So fun.
Do you think Grant would say something different about you and raccoons? Grant is Alexis's partner, for context. Do you think he would disagree and be like, are you kidding? You're actually a...
I mean, I know, I feel like at some point I mentioned, he did say that I would be a deer.
He said you were like a deer, didn't he?
But I don't think
that's kind of, that's a flirty response.
Yeah, I don't think he'd disagree about a raccoon also. Like, I think he would still...
Like, a deer is a sexy animal. That's him being like, I'm going to pick like a kind of hot, you know what I mean? Like, come on, that deers are a hot animal. Like,
but also, I did say, like, is it because I would stand in traffic? And he was like, well, it's not that because of that. So, there's still... my reflexes aren't great. I can put together like a clever answer of like, yeah, I think you're very beautiful. And also, sometimes you don't move out of the way fast enough.
I do think, though, in the spirit of hybridization of animals, there is something in what's Twig in Hilda?
Oh, she's a deer fox, right?
A deer fox. I actually see that also being quite fitting for you.
Yeah, I agree with that also.
Because she's quite like fierce and like, you know, she'll defend Hilda and stuff, but also. You know, also is like quite happy to like curl up, be cozy in the warm.
I would be fine with that also. You know?
Yeah,
yeah. I'm trying to think.
Has anyone else ever told you you're something different?
I don't think so. What about you? Like, what does Michael say you are?
I don't know. Actually, I need to ask him.
Yeah,
I think I do get cat or some kind of big cat quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that never. Fits quite with that is cats tend to be quite solitary and I'm not at all.
I was actually just thinking I was like,
I'm a pack animal.
Yeah.
Not like a big group, not like necessarily like a flock, but like my pack is my pack. So,
Cause also, I mean, I guess then like a lion is fitting, but a lion feels cliche. Like a lion doesn't sound like what I mean it to be. I mean, more literally a lion, not like you're like a lion. Like, you know, but I mean, I think actually the lion lifestyle would really suit you.
I think a lion lifestyle would really suit me.
Yeah.
I do like the way that the lionesses are kind of go-getters.
Yeah.
I kind of rate that. And then they chill in the sun for the rest of the day. That does also feel quite fitting.
Yeah.
I do also think that, like, part, again, it's nature and nurture. But, like, my parents are both definitely big cat personalities.
Yeah.
Like, 100% without a doubt are both, like, my dad is a lion and my mum is a tiger or something. Like, just in every, in just 100%.
Yeah.
So it's like, am I a big cat or was I just raised by two big cats?
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah, like there's a chance that you're actually just a zebra nearby, but you've hung around with the big cats so much that you're like, I guess I like big cat stuff too. Like,
yeah, like have you seen those videos of like occasionally a lioness will come across like a baby gazelle and it won't eat it, it will just like adopt it and raise it, which is so cute. Like maybe I'm just the gazelle that got raised by the two lions.
I honestly think we should do some research into like a few other of those types of animals that are near lions, because I wonder if there's one that fits.
Yeah,
I just don't know enough about like their lifestyles.
No, for sure. Well, that's why I said fusas, because it's like convergent evolution. Like they've evolved like big cats, but they're not big cats.
Yeah, that's true.
And I relate to that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty
like
good
I've evolved
one.
Like this thing out of necessity, but I don't know if I'm actually like this thing.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out in the future.
Yeah. We will.
In the meantime,
send us your ready pet goes.
Yes.
Do that. Also, if you have any thoughts on like what animals you would be if you were animals, or if people have told you one thing and you're actually a completely different thing, please share, because maybe we'll shed light on this identity crisis that I'm clearly currently having.
also, you can if you rate, review, and subscribe to the show. I don't know if I've said that in a while, but it does really help us get more listeners, share with your friends, and then obviously follow us on social media at Sea Creatures Pod on Twitter and at Comfort Creatures Podcast on Instagram. And of course, we have a Discord and you can find the link in both of those.
For sure.
Yeah. I've been Alexis B. Preston.
I've been Ella McLeod.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.